Lift your hands in the worship of God. Father, we give you the praise. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I lift your right hand. Do you feel His presence? Hands uplifted, can you watch? Just whisper that name, Jesus. That's right. Thank you for a night. We worship you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. With your hands and give Him the praise for a night of encounters. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, all the way to verse 4. It blessed Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. The Lord bless His word in Jesus' name. That nasopharyngeal tumor in between the junction of the nose, the ear, the mouth, and that's the truth. Right now I cause it to die to its root. Every growth in that junction is dead to its root. In Jesus' precious name. And everything that is a stranger to your body, anything that is a stranger to your body, anything that does not belong to your life, anything that was not planted originally by God. Cancer is not a normal part of the body. Everything that is a stranger to your body dies to its roots now, in the name of Jesus. So shall it be, in Jesus' precious name. Pardon me for breaking protocol. I'm preaching and I'm meant to be on the word. But when the devil gets in the way, we knock him out first. And then we go on ahead. Anything that is not of God in your body, whatever is growing, whether it's a fibroid, a breast lump, whatever it is that is not growing, a virus, a bacteria, that is not meant to be the normal body system, tonight they are cursed to their roots. They are dead at their roots, in the name of Jesus. So shall it be, in Jesus' precious name. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Release, recovery, and replication through excellence. Release, recovery, and replication through excellence. We have as an objective tonight understanding the power of excellence to produce those three: release, recovery, and replication. When we talk of replication, we are talking of multiplication, but an increase through excellence. There are four things that I would like to say by way of introduction, things that we said during the Sunday service. Some of them. Number one, that excellence is a critical requirement for successful living. Critical requirement. Excellence is an asset, a non-negotiable asset of human life and destiny. Second, excellence is a responsibility of Christianity. It is a part of the Christian's duty to excel. It's the responsibility of Christianity. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You are not permitted to be called the son of your father until you are shining. It's part of your duty. Is part of your duty to shine. Is a responsibility of Christianity to be outstanding. Is a responsibility of Christianity not to be mediocre. Thirdly, excellence is a department of righteousness and godliness. It's a department. It's a department of God's holiness. He dwells in light which no man, he dwells in light which no man can approach. The summary of heaven is beauty and excellence. It's a department of righteousness and God-likeness. Godliness means God-likeness or like Godness. That's the person is godly means he looks like God. He's God-like. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 36, we saw that on Sunday, it said, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. What is the difference between the righteous and his neighbor? Is it the carrying of Bible? No. Is it speaking in tongues? Not necessarily. Is it attendance to church? No. What is the difference between the righteous and his neighbor? Excellence. Excellence. You know that this person is righteous and this one is unrighteous
Because this one is excellent, this one insists on quality, and this one is a mediocre, anything goes with him. So it is an abomination for an unrighteous person to have more sense of excellence than a righteous person. It's an abomination. It's a contradiction in terms. For somebody who doesn't know God to insist on quality more than the one who knows God, that doesn't make us look like God. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. Prove that you are righteous. Prove that you know God by being more excellent than your neighbor. Whatever you do, let it be more excellent than your neighbor who doesn't know God. In your practice, you run a school, let it be more excellent. You run you have a taxi cab business, let it be more excellent. You have a tailoring shop, let it be more excellent. You have a barbing salon, let it be more excellent than that of your neighbor. That is a proof that you are righteous, and that one is not righteous. You know, if I stop here, I've already preached. Your excellence is more evangelistic than your utterance. I just said something. Your excellence is more evangelistic than your utterance. The level of quality you display, the level of standard you maintain, can preach the gospel to the sinner more than what you are saying. More than what you are saying. And that is the third thing that we'll note tonight. Fourthly, excellence gives God the license to facilitate the eminence of his people. Say it again. Excellence gives God the license to facilitate the eminence of his people. Meaning of it is, your excellence makes it easy for God to place you on top. It makes it easy for God. That is, God will place you on top with nobody complaining. He will place you on top with nobody murmuring. He will place you on top with nobody saying, "Who is he? I know the job better than him, and they have placed him on top of me." You make it easy for God. Your excellence, that was what God did when he saw Daniel. He took Daniel and placed him on top. Where we read, Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. In fact, verse 1 to 5. Because they wanted to find a fault with Daniel and find a blame with him, and they could find nothing because he was more excellent than them. They want to fault him at work. They want to fault him in his duty schedule, in his job description, in his performance evaluation ratio. They want to fault him somewhere, but they could not fault him because he was far above board. You just make it easy for God to place you where you belong. When you operate in mediocrity, your prayers are long. When you operate in excellence, you pray short prayers, and answers are drastic. Am I communicating at all? You just keep on begging and begging and begging for God to please help me be this, and help me be that, and help me become this. But when you are excellent, your excellence is already answered prayer. Yeah, your excellence is already prayer waiting to be answered. That is, God does not have any challenge but place you where you belong, among your contemporaries. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. I see someone here being positioned where you belong. If you are that one, you say the loudest amen. It is our month of excellence for release and recovery and replication. And before this month is over, somebody will be positioned somewhere that will shock yourself, shock your friends, and shock your loved ones. You are saying amen. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Say the loudest believers, amen. I was very, very rugged when I was on the campus. I'm still very, very rugged. But if the ruggedness of that time remained in terms of so many ways, maybe I would have, if I come to church, I would scatter everybody out to go to the mission field, right? And so on and so forth.
When I was medical students fellowship president of the university I attended, we went for a national conference. And when we came in for that conference, and everybody was giving a slot. Somebody, you do this, you did that, you do this, you do that. And my slot was to lead a 5 minute prayer. And then, by the time that 5 minute prayer was led, within the first 1 minute, the house was aflame. Under the 2 minutes, by the time the mic was dropped, after 5 minutes, even the devil felt that the prayer was praying. When it was time to elect a president, it was done by election, okay, who will be president? When it was time, it was a unanimous decision. Who will be? See him there. Was it not clear? It's clear now. Why will you be asking for who is the next president? See him there. Unanimously pointed. Minimal room for grumbling or murmuring or complaining. Not one soul. Not a dissenting voice. I can't remember a dissenting voice. You make it easy when you stand out in what you do. When you stand out in what you do. When you do what you do with the passion that it requires. When you give what you do all that it takes. You make it easy for God and even for your boss in the office, who is a righteous boss, to put you where you belong without anybody murmuring. They have brought someone. The reason why there is so much murmuring in this country and in various countries of the world, especially in our own, is that mediocres are placed on top of excellent people. On account of quota, on account of it's from so and so place. One of the saddest things I ever saw was marking scheme, or what do you call it now? Cut off point that gives people admission to a high institution. Cut off point. In some part of the country, the cut off point is. I'm talking of admission to places. If you are from this state, your cutoff is 35. If you are from that state, your cutoff is 85. Because people from your state have brain, and there is a lot of competition, so yours is 85. From this state, people don't go to school. So let's encourage them to go to school. Cutoff is 35. And you are going to study the same course. And you graduate and you came out with a second class, or a first class, and this one came out with a third class, and you went to the same civil service and they placed him on top of you. On account of quota system, it is called mediocritis. It's an inflammatory disease. Mediocritis, mediocritis, mediocritis. Mediocritis must be an inflammation of the Mycobacterium mediocritia. So everything is just upside down. The person on under knows more than the person on top, and he wants to correct the person on top. He can't correct him. Upside down operation. And people are wondering why a massive nation like this is not going forward. Mediocres on top of quality people. But God will change things. If Jesus tarries to come, God will change things. Am I communicating at all? This is very, very important. When you give God excellence. Are you ready to note this down now? When you give God excellence, He gives you prominence. When you give God excellence, He gives you eminence. Give God excellence, He gives you eminence. Give God excellence, He gives you eminence. Give God excellence, He gives you prominence. Give God excellence, He gives you eminence. Give God excellence, He gives you prominence. Now, let's look at scripture very, very quickly before we run out of time, even though we didn't necessarily run out of talk. Release, recovery, replication by excellence. Now, let's look at release and see examples of people who experienced a release because they were excellent. Number one was Joseph. By virtue of, now, Joseph, you know that Joseph grew up with a lot of visions and dreams of his future.
and the dreams and the future and the destiny of Joseph was realized, or Joseph was released into that future at the frequency of excellence. You know the story. When all the magicians of Egypt were brought to interpret the dream of Pharaoh, the nightmare of Pharaoh, and none could interpret those dreams, and Joseph was the one who interpreted it more than all of them, he had the answer that nobody had, and that released Joseph into the palace. Genesis 41, verse 39 to verse 44. You know the story, the whole of the story. We can't read that because of time. So Joseph was practically released into his future by excellence. He was released into his destiny by excellence. Joseph reached where he was meant to reach by doing better than his contemporaries. He did better than his contemporaries. So he reached where he was meant to reach. He was released into his destiny by excellence. Number two, David was released from the wilderness into the palace on the platform of excellence. He was released from the wilderness into the palace. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and in verse 17, all the way to verse 21, we saw the story of how Saul was looking for someone who could play the instrument, and they found David, the son of Jesse, who played more than everybody else, and Saul, and they sent and Saul sent messengers to Jesse, who sent David to Saul, and the Bible said David came, took wine and so on. In verse 21, he came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. David left the wilderness into the palace on the platform of excellence. I don't know whatever kind of wilderness you are today. If you will release excellence, that excellence will catapult you to the realm of authority that you belong. Somebody say aloud, amen. You can move from where you are to where you are meant to be in the vehicle of excellence. Say it another way. You travel from your position into your destination in the vehicle of excellence. You travel from your position, your current position, into your desirable destination in the vehicle of excellence. That example of release by excellence. Third example was Daniel. Daniel was released into what I call the world of perpetual relevance. He was released into the world of perpetual relevance on the platform of excellence. Perpetual relevance. That is, soldier come, soldier go. Barrack is never empty. Administrations came, administrations left. Daniel was not touched. Daniel chapter 1 verse 20. In all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, that is Daniel and his colleagues, to be 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Look at that. And Daniel continued. He wasn't stoppable. He continued to the first year of King Cyrus. From when? From King Nebuchadnezzar. To the first year of King Cyrus. Higher. Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, I will research to find out if Tiglath-Pileser didn't come in between. And then you have Belshazzar. And then you have Darius. And then from Darius to Cyrus, a span of over 71 years in government service. What a life on the platform of excellence. Excellence is key to perpetual relevance. People may hate you,
but to become perpetually relevant, if you are excellent, is key to perpetual relevance.
That was Daniel. And these examples of release people experienced because of excellence. You can go anywhere you desire to go if you can surrender excellence. Number two is recovery. Recovery. Recovery happens by excellence. Recovery is talking about you were somewhere and you left somewhere, or you lost something, or something left you, or something finished. Excellence is key to recovery. Our first example here again is Joseph. Joseph lost liberty. Became a prisoner. And how did he regain his liberty? By the same process through which his destiny was released. Through the display of quality. How did he regain? Psalm 105, verse 17, all the way to verse 22. He came out of the prison and began to teach senators wisdom by excellence. When you produce excellence, no prison door can remain locked against you. Excellence will bring you out of where wicked people kept you. Where wicked people kept you. Where jealous people kept you. Where envious people kept you. Excellence will bring you out of there. Where wicked people kept you. Where jealous people kept you. Where envious people kept you. Excellence will bring you out of the place. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Lift your right hand and say, I am coming out. Say, I'm coming out. That was Joseph. Second example of recovery was the wedding in Canaan. The wedding in Canaan. The restoration of the wine happened on the platform of excellence. I'll show you something. John chapter 2, verse 5. The mother of Jesus said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Go ahead to verse 6 and 7. This you cannot miss. And there were set, somebody say set. There were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. Containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. Listen. First of all, we saw the display of excellence by the fact that the water pots were not scattered, they were set. You know that order is a department of excellence. Every time you see a man or a woman who is excellent, life is orderly. It was set after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. Many of us, the reason why our life is where it is that there is nothing that is predictable. Things are so scattered. John Wesley had a schedule, the city that was as rigid as the sun. Now, take that aside. He said, fill the water pot. They could have filled it according to how some of us fill things. The Bible said, they filled it to the brim. That is called attention to details, which is another department of excellence. Filled it to the brim means if you drop one more drop of water, it will spill.
I have a very, very interesting way in which I operate. If I ask my wife, give me a glass of water, and yes, they filled it to the brim until there was no space left in the pot. That is called attention to detail. So when you mix order with attention to details, you have excellence. And where excellence is found, abundance is inevitable. When I say, ask my wife at the dining table, please give me a glass of water. And if the glass of water is up to this place, I say, it's not filled yet. That is practical way of operation. Am I correct? I say, it is not filled yet. Fill it until they fill it to the brim. What is the excuse? What is the reason?
So that you can account for what you drank.
I say, I should be able to say I drank one cup. She found it very funny and very, very interesting. The first thing, but it's constant. Today, it is tomorrow. Fill it up. If they say, what did you drink? What will I tell people? Let me know I drank wine. And if it is half, it's half. All right, so I say, I drank one and a half. One and a quarter, but it must be full so I can be able to account for what I drank. I drank one cup, not almost full. No, it should be full. I have a surgical way of eating rice. By the time I finish, it's a straight line. You won't find one drop on this side. Do I have a witness? She has taken a picture before. She says, sir, let me snap the balance of this food. It is too surgical. She took a picture, straight line. That is, the one that was not eating is on this side. The one that was eating finished on this side. And if on this side can't have one grain, it all have to be on one side. I have other people, by the time they finish eating, it's like chicken walked on the ground. That is alright. That is okay. Just the person. It's the way my own mind works. I should be able to account for one cup. That was what they did. They filled it to the brim. I'm going to come to this later. Many of us, our failure in life is in minor details. It is in the little things that don't constitute. It's in the minor details. And we'll come to that. But I believe that everything that these people did had implication. The water pots were set and they didn't haphazardly fill the pot. It was done in accuracy and exactness. And once it was done like that, it multiplied automatically. Praise the Lord. Please, I'm not asking you to eat rice like that. Don't put your life under pressure. That was recovery. Recovery, wedding in Cana of Galilee, and we just saw Joseph. Now, let's go to replication. When we talk about replication, we are talking about increase. We are talking about multiplication. Replication, increase, or multiplication. Now, our first example is the feeding of the multitudes. The feeding of the multitudes. The feeding of the multitudes. You will see an orderly way in which Jesus functioned there and the food multiplied. In Mark chapter 6 and in verse 39 to 42. Mark chapter 6, verse 39 to 42. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. All sit down. And they sat down, not scatteredly, not anyhowly. They sat down in ranks by hundreds
And by 50s, there was a prediction, there was an orderliness. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves. He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples set before them. So there was the orderly way in which they were sitting, and then he broke the bread, gave to the disciples, and I believe the disciples took it and gave it to the head of each company. And then each of the company distributed it to each of the members within their companies of 50 or companies of 100. And there was the bread was not only enough, but the bread, the food overwhelmed the people until 12 baskets were taken after at the frequency of excellence. Now, our second example is the example of the multiplication of disciples in the early church. Now, when there was no order, the food was not enough. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7, the food was not enough. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Christians against the Hebrews because the widows were neglected in the daily distribution. There was food, but it was not enough. It didn't go around. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but who will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, the food was being distributed haphazardly before, but they decided to organize it, coordinate it, order it, make it excellent. The same food, not that food increased, the same food that was available before, that could not go around and people were murmuring, was still available, but now organized and ordered. Now, let's read forward. And the saying pleased the people. And so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. See what happened. And the word of God increased. As for the food being enough, that one, there was no need to mention it. The food matter was already handled by this excellence and order. Now, we are seeing other outcomes now. There was an explosion of revelation, explosion of light, explosion of insight. And the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient unto the faith. You know, while I was looking at this scripture, the Holy Spirit ministered something to me. And he said, it is not every situation of stagnation that is an attack of the enemy. Not every situation of stagnation is an attack of the enemy. Many times, stagnation could be a product of disorder. When a man's life is not ordered, when a person's life is in disarray, stagnation, shortage is easy. Disorder brings shortage. Nothing is ever enough. Where there is disorder, nothing is ever enough. I will come to that shortly. So, we saw that in the multiplication, it could be a product of disorder many times. Stagnation is not an attack of the enemy. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. What do you do? What is my counsel this night? 1. Embrace the culture of excellence. Embrace it. Embrace the culture of excellence. Embrace the culture of excellence. Meaning, refuse the life of compromise, conformity, mediocrity.
Compromise, conformity, mediocrity. Avoid it. Avoid the life of compromise, conformity, mediocrity. Avoid it. Compromise, conformity, mediocrity. Refuse to settle where the majority of people have settled. Refuse it. Refuse to settle where the majority of people have settled. Paul the Apostle said, I press towards the mark. I am struggling. Was that Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14 there about? I press towards the mark. I have refused to settle. I am in motion. I am pressing. Ephesians 3. Press towards the mark. I think it's verse 14. Can you look at it and place it on the screen? I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 14 years. I press toward the mark. Refuse. Refuse to be comfortable with average. So you don't die with an average life. Refuse. Stretch yourself. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10, do it with all your might, means give it all you have got. Give it all it takes. Give it all it takes. Embrace the culture of excellence. Number two, avoid the life of disorder. Avoid it. Avoid the life of disorder. What do I mean? Embrace order. Order your life. Order your life. Order your life's schedules. Don't let the day plan your life. Plan your day. 24 hours will never be enough for you if you allow the day to plan you. When some people tell me, I am coming to see you tomorrow, or I will see you tomorrow, I like to see you tomorrow, what I tell myself is, I am not asking for an appointment. So if you want to see me, let's agree on when you can be seen. Don't let life plan you. Plan your life. Don't let the day order you. Order your day. Otherwise, nothing will ever be enough. Order your life. Order your life's schedule. Order your finances. Everything that enters my hand, there is a percentage that is tithe. There is a percentage that is a giving to the poor and the less privileged. There is a percentage that goes in for free will offering. There is a percentage that goes in for kingdom assignments like evangelism and projects. There is a percentage that goes in for I prophet and preach. There is a percentage that goes in for my family. There is a percentage that goes into the warehouse. So by the time the month is beginning, the offering for the last day of the month is set. It's not that time I'm looking for the money. It's already set. For the last 20 years of my life to 25 years, by His mercy, every dime that enters the hand and every dime that is going out is accounted. It's known. So if you say, oh, can I have your personal income record of 20 years ago? It's available. Am I communicating? 1 million naira entered your hand and you are not aware. And that happened 1,000 times. You just lost 1 billion without knowing. 1,000 entered your hand 1,000 times and you were careless with it. 1 million just left you without your notice. See, there are many people God cannot do major things with because life is totally in disorder. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Order your life. Order your finances. Order your time. The
Because like I said, disorder brings stagnation. Disorder brings shortage. Nothing will ever be enough where there is no order. Nothing. It doesn't matter how much money your father left for you. It doesn't matter the inheritance you get. It will never be enough. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 40. Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. When we got this land, it was costing many zeros, 9 zeros, plenty zeros. And we're not stranded because by virtue of order, the pool that will finance what was needed. No, the church wasn't aware. Nobody ever told church members, we are buying a land, and this is the cost of the land. And the land is so many amount. Nobody. Was anybody informed? Was there any donation for land? The first land we bought, that is the Area 1 land, that first portion of it. The whole of it, that first portion, the whole of it came out of reserves. The whole of it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So if there was no order, no, everything is in disarray, life will be permanently under pressure. Nothing will ever be enough. I see God changing somebody's life. If you are the one, you say louder, amen. If you are the one, you say the loud most, amen. What do? Embrace the culture of excellence. Number two, avoid the life of disorder. Number three, pay attention to details. Pay attention to details. We said it before that I read this from somewhere. Little hinges swing big doors. When you see a door swinging, what is swinging it are hinges that are little. What is the meaning of that to you? It translates to say, mega differences are made out of minor details. You can make a mega difference in your generation by paying attention to minor details. I read a story where a big locomotive engine of those days, the movement of the train was arrested. And they were trying to find the fault, and they looked into the engine and realized that there was a little fly. A fly was inside a particular part of the system that shut down a whole locomotive. When that fly was removed, the Baban train, the truck, began to move. Who beat you? Fly. Little detail. When you look at most of us, we are the same physically. We dress alike, tie alike, suit alike. But when it comes to details, that is what differentiates us. The details, how we live our life, how we handle human beings, how we talk to people. I knew a pastor many years ago, many, many, many years ago. This guy was connected to people like Kenneth Hagin and so on. See, some of you are asking, what do I do with your money? What do I do with your money? I eat it. He's talking to church people. Number one, what he is saying is wrong. It's not meant to eat the money. Because if he eats the money belonging to God, belonging to church, he doesn't have a future and the church doesn't have a future. I use it to buy things. I use it to do everything. I use it to do this. That was how I scattered everybody. The church doesn't exist to my notice. When he was preaching all those things, we were not pastors yet. We are still students. No, there are things you see and you learn what not to do. And then you also learn what to do.
I have been preaching in this ministry from the scratch. I haven't bought one tie with church money. Our children passed through Destiny Christian Academy. We are the first to pay the school fees. Oh, yes? It's church school, not pastor school. And I pay school fees for other people's children there, including some staff's children. There was not one day that they reminded us of paying children's school fees in the church's own school. It's not possible. Do you understand what I'm talking about? With receipt, this is school fees paid, this is receipt. Praise the Lord. So that was how the man can wear clothes and don't know how to talk to people and have upside down behavior. There is something we call gross anatomy. And there is something we call histology. When you look at, let's say, the liver, if you put two livers aside, most at times, on the surface, all of them look the same. But then you do some histology, that is, check the cell by cell. Oh, this liver is degenerating already. This one is having some fatty liver already. Oh, this one, some traces of liver cirrhosis is coming up. When you look at them at times, facially no difference, but in the details, you see the difference. Am I communicating at all? So that is how all of life is. So until you pay attention to details, you are not paying attention to your destiny. Don't walk past the paper that you saw on the road. Pick it. Don't say, this thing that needs to be done, I will do it another time. Do it now. I will do it another time. Do it now. Distinction in life is a function of attention to details. I like everyone to go through this message again. I like our staff in the church to go through this message and practicalize the message in every department of our workforce. I want this, the school and every one of us go through the message. And this is just the beginning of the journey through this month. By the time we are through this month, I believe that God will shape us to who we are meant to be. Until we look like Him in quality, we look like Him in excellence. Stand up on your feet. Did somebody beat you? Okay, take your seat first. You receive something, stand on your feet with a shout of praise. Lift up your two hands and let's honor the King of Kings. Let's honor the Lord of Lords. Let's honor the I Am that I Am. The Rose of Sharon. The Lily of the Valley. El Shaddai. El Ayon. Worship Him. Honor Him. Adore Him. Magnify Him. Father, we thank You. Father, we honor You. Father, we adore You. Blessed be Your name. Honor to Your name. Adoration to Your name. Go ahead and praise Him. Go ahead and worship Him. Go ahead and magnify Him. Go ahead and glorify Him. Go ahead and praise His name. Father, we worship You. Father, we honor You. Father, we adore You. Father, we magnify You. Thank You for a day like this. Jikobara hasida galaya dagadaya lalala hashadada. Leperete sike lamanagagaya lalala hashto. Worship Him. Honor Him. Adore Him. Magnify Him. Glorify Him. Father, thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You for Your word tonight. We give You the praise. We give You the honor. In Jesus' precious name. Are you grateful for what God said taught us tonight? Then we are going to lift up your hands and ask, Father, I need a fresh baptism of the Spirit of Excellence. 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 A fresh baptism
of the spirit of excellence. Lift your voice and speak to God. A fresh baptism of the spirit of excellence. I need a fresh baptism of an excellent spirit. A fresh baptism of the spirit of excellence. I need a fresh baptism. A fresh baptism. A fresh baptism. Speak to God and receive the fresh baptism. The fresh baptism. The fresh baptism.
You are God, the beginning and the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. And you are God from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself. You are God. You are God from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument.
You are God all by yourself.
You are God.
You are God
from beginning to the end. There's no place. You are God all by yourself. You are God. You are God.
From beginning to the end. There's no place for
your hands everywhere you are. Father, I am asking you to assist me with a life of order. Deliver me from a disordered life. Deliver me from a disorganized life. Deliver me from a disorderly life. A disorganized life. Help me, Lord, to order my life, order my time, order my finances, order my resources, order my life. Lift your voice and speak to God. Ooh.
There's no place for you, but God Almighty.
Finally, Father, I receive the grace to pay attention to details. Many of us, we ignore many things. We are so careless. We take so many things for granted. And then life ends up grounded. Lord, grace to pay attention to details. Attention to details. Attention to details. Attention to details. In medical school, you have to pay attention to details. There's something they call multiple choice question. That is attention to detail. The lung is a cardiovascular organ, three of us. The lung is a respiratory organ, two of us. The lung is a place of oxygenation, true or false. Now, if the answer is true, you mark it true. If the answer is false, you mark it false. If you don't know the answer, leave it, don't touch it. Because if you mark true and it is true, you have plus one. If you mark true and it is false, it's not zero, you have minus one. You have a subtracted mark. It's not that you failed it. You have minus. You have minus. That is, you didn't fail it. You are owing mark. And by the time you are through with that portion, if you have, let's say, it's over 40 and you have minus 15 over 40, they will take the mark from the essay. You are owing 15 marks, so they have to look for where to take it. you can't do both face. If you don't know it, leave it. Just respect yourself. Attention to, some people fail jam by attention to details. You say, shade answer or tick. The person know the answer, but he ticked it, and he was meant to shade it. The computer whatever is marking it doesn't see the tick. He failed everything. He sucks. He intelligently failed. Intelligent failure at the frequency of lack of attention to details. That's why I told you, it is in details that people fail. Tell your wife, I love you. Why? I love you and the Santana I bought for you. Which one is more costly? That was a bubble. How many of you remember Santana car? That was a bone of contention between a man and his wife. Quarrel. It's little details. How can you say I don't love you when I bought you a car? No. Christ does not speak. Grace to pay attention to details in every facet of my life, I receive now. Open your mouth and say, Father, I receive the grace to pay attention to details. I receive that grace to pay attention to details. I receive the grace now in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God. Ooh. Lift up your hands. Father, thank you for tonight. I'm going to give a call. Real excellence that will take us to eternity with God in heaven begins by being the child of the Father of light, the Father of excellence. You are here tonight, you are in need of surrender to Jesus. You want your sins forgiven. You want today to mark a new day for you. There is a life you are living you are not happy with. There is a habit, a lifestyle that must be broken. Pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and quickly rush to the frontier and let me pray for you. Pick your bags, pick your Bibles, let me pray for you.
Lord, I give you.
Yes, don't be the last to come, be the first to come. While they are coming, let's take communion positions as well. Keep coming, quickly, quickly, step forward. The rest of us can take our seats. God bless.
Every moment I'm away. I'm away.
Have your way.
Everybody,
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Still coming, if you are here today and you are saying to me, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life to God. I've come out like this before, but all I want to do tonight is to rededicate my life to God. Or maybe I want to break an addiction. There is something I'm battling with, a lifestyle that must be broken in my life. Anywhere you are like that, pick your Bibles and bags and come forward here and let the addiction be broken. Tobacco smoking, alcoholism, marijuana, masturbation, lesbianism, anything that is a lifestyle, you know for sure that this thing will take you to hell. I give you the count of seven. One.
Lord, I give you my
quickly. Two.
Give my
I give you my soul.
I live for you. For you. Every step that I take. Every moment I'm away. Have your way.
Have your way.
Place your right hand on your chest. All of you standing, lift the other hand up and pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it louder. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken. Grace to live for God, to do His will, is released upon you. And I call it done. In Jesus' name.